And here we go. Okay, so good morning, everyone. Again, I apologize for the inconvenience. The Wi-Fi initial is down, but hopefully that will be rectified soon. But I do want to thank our sponsors for this morning, Doctors Eli and Orly Cohn, who are in family, who are sponsoring today's shiur in honor of their parents, Saba and Safta, Rabbi Mordechai and Fortuny Cohn, who are obviously regulars at our class. And as they wrote in the postscript to the sponsorship, that Rabbi and Mrs. Cohn always inspire us their commitment to the daily reciting of Tehillim. Their faith sets an example for their children and grandchildren, which strengthens our emuna in Hashem. So again, I want to really thank the Cohns for sponsoring the class, and what a great honor for Rabbi and Mrs. Cohn. Big fans of them. They inspire me as well with their emuna, with their commitment to Tehillim. So it's a great honor, it's a great zchus to be able to have this class sponsored in their honor. Okay. Today we are going to be studying chapter 32 of Tehillim Lamed Bet 32. And while the chapter itself might not be so familiar to you, many of the psukim will be. Essentially what this chapter is about, if I had to summarize it, and one of the things that David HaMelech is going to, is the notion that it's not just enough, but it requires of introspection, and most importantly, and this is going to be a theme that we're going to come back to over and over again, but honesty. Honesty with yourself. And I think if I had to characterize the entire chapter, at least according to the reading of Rav Hirsch, is that what this chapter is about? It's being honest with yourself. You are not doing anyone a favor if you are dishonest with yourself, if you lie to yourself about what your faults are and where you fell short and where you may have not succeeded in your relation with Hashem. You can't improve that way. And so improving, tshuva says, Rav Hirsch, say many of the Meforshim, start with this notion of honesty and a lack of self-deception. And that's really what the chapter is about. It's not a very long chapter, but I think it's a very powerful chapter in the sense that it encourages us to reflect. It encourages us to be honest with ourselves. One of the words that we'll see later on is the word yitpalel, which we know from Rav Hirsch tells us pilel, which means to judge yourself. But the whole notion of davening is to look at yourself and say, what am I doing well? What am I not doing well? What could I be doing better? And we all know people who have blind spots, who have faults of their own. And the number one thing that causes self-destructive behavior is a person's inability to admit wrongdoing and to move on from that. And so what happens is that people perpetuate the cycle of wrongdoing, right? They don't weed it out when it's a small issue, but rather they let it germinate until it becomes something much, much more significant. That is what this chapter of Tehillim is about. So again, we are studying chapter 32. For those who came on late, again, I apologize that I'm recording off of my phone. The internet in the shul is down. Baruch Hashem, with modern technology, we have audibles in our back pocket for moments like this. So here we go. Chapter 32, Le David Maskil. What does the word maskil mean? It's not a word we've seen many times. Mefarshim Rav Hirsch points out that the word maskil reminds us that this is less of a song of praise, right? Some of the chapters of Tehillim are we're singing praise to Hashem. This is not so much a song of praise, but rather it's a lesson that David wants to share with us, right? Maskil, a haskil means to pay attention, to be attentive to. So David HaMelech is giving us a Musar Shmuz right now. Right? He's not praising Hashem. He's looking you right in the eye. And he's saying, I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to learn from this. L'David maskil ashrei nisui pesha, kisui chata'a. Right? Praiseworthy is the one who is nisui pesha, kisui chata'a. A person who doesn't sin, essentially. Right? That's what we're talking about right off the bat. But then, pasuk bet, ashrei adam lo yachshov lo adonai avon. Ve'ein berucho remia. So the first pasuk is someone who does not cover up his sin, right? Asher ashrei nisui pesha kisui chata. Praiseworthy is the one who does not cover up his sin. The Malbim points out the difference between chait and pesha, that chait means that I did something accidental, right? Chait officially means to miss the mark. In other words, I was trying to go here, but instead I went there. I missed the mark. Pesha, says the Malbim, refers to an active form of rebellion. Okay. And I believe that is the that the Ibn Ezra points that out, right? That the difference between those two. Okay. So chait, I accidentally sin, pesha, It was a form of rebellion against Hashem. But Ashrei Nisui Pesha Kisui Chata'a, right? Praiseworthy is the one who does not hide this, right? The Metudas David says, Ashrei Lamisha Nimcha Pesha V'niskase Chata'o L'man Lo Yiskor Ki Bevadei Asa Tshuva Haguna, right? A person doesn't ignore it, but rather they did tshuva. Pasuk Bet is different. Ashrei Adam Lo Yachshov Adonai Lo Avon Ve'in Baruchot Remia. Right? What's even better, says David HaMelech, than sinning and doing tshuva for it? Well, it's better to not sin at all, right? This person, says Rav Hirsch, is not just talking about a person who does tshuva, but it's about being honest with yourself. And this, I want to read to you a comment by Rav Hirsch, which drives this home. So first, Rav Hirsch tells us that the word maskil is an instructive lecture. Okay, so again, David HaMelech is giving us a Musar Shmuz. What is Kisoi Chata'a Nesoi Pesha? Says, refers that he is not guilty of any transgression, intentional or unintentional. So what does it mean, Ashrei Adam Lo Yachshov Adonai Lo Avon, that a person who has no sin whatsoever? So verse says, but happy too is he to whom, even if he has sinned, Hashem does not ascribe iniquity when he decrees his ultimate fate. There is no need for Hashem to inflict suffering upon him in order to remind him that he has sinned and that he must mend his ways. He is not deceived in his own mind about his true worth. Rather, he bears within him a conscience that acts as a stern, incorrigible judge. Essentially, what Hirsch is telling us is that Hashem has many pathways to encouraging us to do tshuva. One of those pathways is suffering. Right. Oftentimes, and again, we don't say this is why something happens, or we can't do a tit for tat that because of A, B happens. But we do have a legacy within Chazal that one of the things that's supposed to inspire us to be better and inspire us to do tshuva is suffering. Now, again, we don't know why we suffer. We can't say, oh, I suffer because of X. Right. That's a very dangerous path. Some rabbis try to go down that direction. Rabbi Goldberg and I are not amongst those, right? I mean, we actually spoke about this the other day, and we are vehemently against that. On the other hand, we also firmly believe that when things happen in our lives, it's an opportunity to inspire ourselves. It's an opportunity for self-reflection, for introspection, and an opportunity for change. So David HaMelech says that better than waiting for that to happen is a person who's so honest with himself, right? He has not deceived within his own mind about his true worth, right? I recognize my faults. I recognize my shortcomings. I recognize my failures. And therefore, I am the one who precipitates the tshuva by coming before Hashem and confessing my sins. And so says the verse, this isn't just about tshuva, but it's about being honest with yourself, that the first building block of tshuva is simply not saying your honesty, the openness, to be honest with yourself. And again, as I commented at the beginning of this class, so many people make that mistake. So many people put up a facade. So much of our lives are the image that we create for other people, right? That I have to be confident for other people, that I have to be capable of other people. And so there's a little bit of that mentality of an externality, of a certain fakeness to it. Because we know that we have to put on a show, and we're always putting on a show. Putting on a show for each other, we're putting on a show for people that we see because we want them to think a certain way about us. Says David HaMelech, there's one person that you can never put on a show for, and that is Hashem and yourself, right? Two people, I guess, right? Hashem and yourself. That when it comes to your relationship with Hashem, when it comes to a self-awareness, don't lie to yourself. Don't say you're something if you're not really that thing, but be honest with yourself. Say, this is who I am. This is who I aspire to be. This is what's in my way. And this is how I'm going to get past it. If you remember in Elul, we spoke about whoop your way to success. That one of the obstacles that people have in their way to success is that they don't even recognize and anticipate the obstacles that are in their way. And so they have these big goals and these big dreams and these big aspirations, but because they don't plan for how they're going to get past the obstacles, it's dead in the water. And the second they hit that obstacle, they're going to fail, inevitably. So says Rav Hirsch, no, the first step of tshuva is about being honest with yourself. That if you convince yourself you're perfect, if you say, you know what, I don't have an anger problem, right? It's not, I don't have to work on anger. And if you say, you know, I don't have a problem with Lashon Hara, right? What's the big deal? Everyone is saying, you're never going to change. The first step to change is not a Tehillim class from Rabbi Moskowitz. And it's not even an Emunah class with Rabbi Goldberg. And it's not even a drusha that you're going to hear on a Shabbos morning. Those are nice. Those might create the catalyst for change. But says David HaMelech, what ultimately is going to precipitate any change is your desire to change, is your willingness to open your eyes and to fully be honest with yourself. That is what this chapter is about, says Rav Hirsch. That's what the second pasuk is about. Pasuk Gimel. Ki echarashti balu atamai bishagasi kol hayom. Right? Here we are talking about a certain silence that has weakened my bones, says David HaMelech. Right? And it's causing me to moan all day long. What are we talking about? Says Rashi. Kasher hecharashti milihis davos al pishai lefanecha. Says David HaMelech, I have failed to admit my sins before you, Hashem. Okay? Vidoy, confession, is so critical here. And so says David HaMelech, the silence here that we're talking about is a failure to confess. David HaMelech says, I know I have sinned, but I couldn't bring myself to admit it to myself. And that silence destroyed me. Right? This, I believe, is also so psychologically profound from David HaMelech. Modern psychology is reaffirming what David HaMelech wrote thousands of years ago, which is that sometimes we know something is true, but we can't really verbalize. We're not willing yet to admit it, right? In therapy, they talk about name the monster, that you have to be willing to put a name to it, because until you put a name to it, it doesn't really exist, right? You have to be willing to speak about it. You have to be willing to admit you have a problem, right? Think about all these terms that we know from AA and therapy and all these things that we've read. David HaMelech says that's exactly what I'm talking about here. Ki echarashti balu atzamai, that it's the silence. It was my inability that I couldn't bring myself to admit it to myself, that I couldn't admit my shortcomings to myself. And that silence, balu atzamai, right? Because of the anguish that it's causing me, it is literally eating me alive. Right? And so what David HaMelech is highlighting for us is the critical importance of verbally confessing our sins. Now, we, of course, know this from Rosh Hashanah, from Yom Kippur, right? Really, Yom Kippur, Aser Simei Tshuva, where the Rambam tells us that the mitzvah de'araisa is not tshuva, right? Tshuva is part of the process. And again, we can give a whole lamda shashir about this, but the Rambam articulates very clearly that the mitzvah of Yom Kippur is vidui. So critical is verbally confessing your sins, naming that monster by getting up there and admitting, no, I have a problem with anger. No, I have a problem with what I'm, problem with lashon hara. No, I have a problem I shouldn't deny. It's going to continue to eat you alive, and you're never going to be able to move past that whatsoever. Pasuk 4. Ki yomam v'layla tichvad alai yadecha, right? Day and night, I was tormented, right? Your hand was weighing heavily on me, okay? Where was I? Nepach l'shadi b'charvonei kaitz selah. Nepach l'shadi. Shadi, the Mefarshim point out, is a pitcher filled with liquid. What does that have to do here? Why are we talking about a pitcher full of liquid here? So the Mefarshim point out that what we're referencing here is a certain vitality, right? Water, liquid, connotes life. So David HaMelech is saying, ki nepach l'shadi b'charvonei kaitz selah, that vitality within me, that liquid within me, right? The juice that caused me to flow, that energized me, that animates me in everything that I do, that vitality, that dynamism within me has become dry and withers like the summer. Like a lulav hayavish, like a dead lulav, which is pasul. David HaMelech says, I become withered. I become dried out. I'm right. The same way when you pluck a plant, it's no longer connected to its source. It's just a countdown to when it withers away. That's what David HaMelech is describing here. That because I didn't confess to my sins, I was withered. I was drained. I had nothing left in the tank. Pasuk 5. Now David HaMelech says, I will admit my sin. Chatasi odiacha. I will admit my sins. Va'avoni lo kisisi. And I will not hide my sins any longer. Amarti, I said, Odeh alai pshay ladonai, I'm going to confess. Odeh here does not mean think, but Odeh means I'm going to admit my sins to Hashem. Ve'ata nasasa avon chatasi sela. And you, Hashem, will forgive me. You will bear my sins. So again, David HaMelech first acknowledges how painful it was for him, his inability to maintain that sense of intellectual honesty. And eventually he comes to the recognition that the only pathway forward, the only way he's going to make himself feel better, so to speak, is if he admits his sins. And that's what he does. And therefore, in Pasuk Vav, Alzos Yispalel Kol Chasid Elecha La'is Mitzo. Right, with this, every chassid will yispalel. Right, again, pshat is daven. He will daven to Hashem. Le'es mitzo, when he is found. We don't know who he is right now. Rak l'shetef mayim rabim. Before the mighty waters will sweep you away. Elev lo yogi. Before they can touch you, right? So a couple of questions here. First of all, what's this le'es mitzo? What is it, the time that he is found? So Ibn Ezra points out that it could be one of two things. Either this is a reference to Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo, right? When Hashem is readily found. And so what David HaMelech is saying, that when a person finds Hashem accessible, u'bakashta misham esel Hashem elokecha, during Aser Smei Tshuva, during Rosh Hashanah, during Yom Kippur, the times of our calendar where it's auspicious that Hashem should be found, then it's al zos yispalel kol chasid. We have to take advantage of those times. We have to maximize those opportunities to beseech Hashem that we confess our sins before these treacherous enemies, whether it's an internal enemy, an external option, says Ibn Ezra. The other option, he says, oh, kasher yimatse levavo mifune mimachshavos. Upanoi meiskav, as yispalel al derech, al kach matza dech sliba. Right? Ibn Ezra, in his first opinion, says it's when Hashem is readily found. In his second opportunity, in his second interpretation, he says it's when the person has a clarity of mind to properly daven to Hashem. Now, I think this approach of the Ibn Ezra is very apropos for all of us. Because what essentially is acknowledging is that there are times that you and I come to davening, and let's be honest, we're just not feeling it, right? We might be, our mind might be scattered. We might have a lot on our minds and we're not able to focus properly. We might be in a rush. We might be in a bad mood. We might be anxious. We might be upset, right? There are a million of emotions that go through our mind. And those emotions don't stop when you come into davening. And as much as we say, let go, let God, emuna, right? We're also real people. And so when we come into davening, we take those emotions with us. And so if you just had a bad business deal, if one of your investments went sour, and you walk into davening, you can't just ignore that. You can't just block that out. It doesn't work that way. If you've got a big fight with a child or a spouse or a parent, we're real people. And so oftentimes, Ibn Ezra acknowledges, you and I don't daven properly because our minds are what he calls panoi mifuneh. We're distracted. Our mind is elsewhere. We have other things on our mind. That's understandable, says Ibn Ezra. But then there are times that are le'es mitzo. There are times when we have the clarity in mind, that we have an increased opportunity to really daven with Hashem, because we're not distracted. And because we have that peace of mind, we have that menuchas nefesh. And so says Ibn Ezra, what David HaMelech is talking about here in the second interpretation, is that when you find those moments, when you have that morning where you're having a great Shmor Esrei, or you have that afternoon, you're having a great mincha or a great marv, don't pass up on that opportunity, but capitalize on it. Capture it and make it the best Shmor Esrei ever. So yes, you're going to have days that aren't going to be so good. But when you have days that are good, be all over it, right? So that's what Ibn Ezra explains. And again, Rashi, Radak, all have different formulations, but one of those two options within the Ebenezer. Reverse here, as I referenced earlier, points out the word does not mean to death, but rather Lael, which means to judge or pass judgment. Says rehearse the following. This literal meaning, who truly serves Hashem, regards all material suffering only as a means sent to him to awaken the right spiritual life within his soul, right? Therefore, let such a man, whenever he senses that suffering is about to descend upon him, to take the opportunity afforded to him to evaluate himself, his past, his present, and his future, and the achievements which Hashem will expect from him in the future to Hashem, but that we introspect. Now let's read the pasuk again. Al zos yispalel kochasid. The root of it, that starts with this need for self, to have an honest evaluation of where I am. And so it says, reverse the chasid, and judging himself and seeking to improve. And that's why I said at the beginning, it's about being honest with yourself. Yipalel, pilel, look into yourself, judge yourself, see what you're doing right, see what you're doing wrong, and fix the things that you're doing wrong. That's what the Mesillas Yesharim writes right at the beginning, when he says that this is our obligation. Our obligation is to notice our inadequacies and our failures and our shortcomings and to catch it early on. Because the earlier we catch it, the better off we are. Pasuk Zayin. Ata seserli mitzar titrini rane palet tisoveveni sela. Some of you might be ata seserli, right? Okay, some of you might be familiar with that. But what he's essentially telling Hashem, right? Hashem, you are seserli. You protect me. You shelter me. Mitzar titzreni, from when I am going through difficulty, right? Mitzar here could be either challenges, or it can be like meitzar, when I find myself in a narrow place. So you, Hashem, save me from that. Rane palet, when I'm crying out, because you will save me. Tisoveni sela, right? Your Savior surrounds me on all sides, says the Radak. Renanos vitzaatos shel hatzala tisoveni. Right, my crying out in jubilation of you saving me surrounds me on all sides. Right, keneged ha'oivim shesivuni. Right, you have to have that imagery. On the one hand, David HaMelech says, my enemies are all around me, but you know what else is all around me? Your pathway to Savior. A recognition, Hashem, that you always have my back, that you will always save me. The Kedusha's interpretation, this is classic Hasidic thought, but he says the following. What's ata seserli? So we know that the ultimate approach to receiving redemption from Hashem is by minimizing your ego and never making it about yourself. Says the Kedusha's Levi DNA, ima adam hu mevakesh mehashem yisparach ezadavar. You want to ask Hashem for anything. Sarach shalo lachashov la'atzmo klal v'klal. It starts by thinking very little of yourself, right? Obviously, we think of a lot of our talents, but not having ego, not having arrogance, not thinking it's about me. And when you don't think it's about you, when you do it all for the sake of the boss here is Hashem, says the Kedushas, Levi ve'az bivadei Hashem yisparach shomei elav, v'irachem alav, v'yamalei bakashaso lato. Then Hashem is going to answer your tefillah. Says the Kedushas, Levi, that's the understanding. Ata seser li, right? When you hide me from myself. In other words, when you hide my ego. Okay, everyone could just mute themselves. You all. Okay, so says David HaMelech, that when Ata Seser Li, Hashem, when you hide me, in other words, when you humble me, when you minimize my ego, right, Az Meitzar Titzreni, then that is the pathway to success. So it's not about our ego, it's not about our arrogance, but rather, it's about our recognition of humility vis-a-vis Hashem. And once we do that, that in and of itself serves as our pathway to redemption. The Orach L'chaim, again, a Sefer, a Chassidish Sefer. This is all from the Sefer that I have of Chassidish Divrei Torah on Telem. But he has a different interpretation of Ata Seser Li Mitar Tzitreni. What does that mean? Hainu Be'es She'ata Behester Mimeni. Hashem, when you are hidden from me, right? Ata seisir li, Hashem, when you are hidden from me, ve'in ani margish shemitcha hizos, and I don't feel your presence, az meitzar titzrim, right? Aval kishani margish, ein ani yirei minatzar. In other words, when I feel hidden from you, that's when I at least recognize the pain. I recognize the suffering. But when I feel close to you, right, then I don't even recognize there's pain and suffering, right? Because I recognize it's all from you. I'm not bothered by it at all. I have a certain tranquility and serenity and menuchas and nefesh because I recognize that everything comes from you, Hashem. And so, it's certainly from a Hasidish approach, there's what to be spoken about. But the pshat is, right? Let's go back to pshat. Ata seisir, again, the way the majority of Meforshim understand it, is ata seisir li mitzar tzitzrini. Hashem, you are my shelter, right? Rane palit soveni sela. And because I place my faith in you, so salvation and redemption surrounds me on all sides. Askilcha, again, that word, we come back to that word, askilcha. In other words, pay attention. V'orcha b'derech zu teleich. Right? And I'll show you the correct path to walk in. Yatsa elecha, alecha eini. And I will give you advice. What's this eini? Says the Radak. Etein lecha etza. Masher isi be'ine atzmi. David HaMelech is essentially saying, I'm going to give you advice from my own personal experiences. That what David HaMelech is telling us is that when you experience something in life, good, bad, or ugly, a challenge or an uplifting moment, we have to use those challenges to inspire other people. Right? And so we see this oftentimes, someone goes through an illness, right? Think about Jay Feinberg, we had on Behind the Bima. So Jay went through a very challenging, difficult time in his life, and he utilized that to advise other people, to save countless other lives. Right, that's what David HaMelech is saying here. Right, yatsa alecha eini. With my life experiences, I will use my shortcomings and my failures and my sins to inspire you, to give you counsel, to advise you on how you can be better. And therefore, he says in pasuk 9, "Don't allow your mouth to be muzzled." Al tiu kesus kefered ein havin. Don't be like part of the expression, a stupid animal. The meseg. Veresen edyo livlom, who has restraint over his mouth, right? Again, who can't talk. Baal krov elecha. Don't be like that, says David HaMelech, right? Don't say, it's beyond what I am capable of, because God won't come close to you unless you confess your sins, unless you have that self-awareness, that intellectual honesty to be able to admit your shortcomings. So don't be muzzled, David HaMelech says. Don't be like the animal who says, it's not my fault, right? Think about an animal. An animal blames others. An animal has no control. He has no autonomy. He has no freedom of choice. And so the animal says, it's my master's fault. And he simply says, silent. Says David HaMelech, that's not what we're like. First of all, we have autonomy. We have free choice. We have the ability to change our ways. But it starts with not being muzzled. It starts with opening our mouths. Rabim machovim l'rasha ve'aboteach b'nai chesed yisovenu. Pasuk 10 is a little bit out of sorts, right? Rabim machovim l'rasha. There are many difficulties. There are many illnesses that befall the rasha. But the one who places his faith in Hashem, chesed yisovenu, right? Kindness will surround him, right? You might think, David HaMelech says, that it's too difficult to confess your sins and that you're better off not doing it. But says David HaMelech, the guy who won't confess, he doesn't have any better, he doesn't have it any better than you. Right? You think being a Rasha is such a big thing? No. Rabbi Machovim LaRasha. Not confessing your sins is not going to help you in the long run. Right? That's a different path of self-destruction. Right? What's the only true path? Vaboteach Bashem. Tabitachon in Hashem. And therefore the last pasuk, Simchu Badunai, will rejoice in Hashem. Vigilu Tzadikim, and the righteous will be joyous. V'harninu, kol yishrei lev, and all the yishrei lev will rejoice as well. What are yishrei lev? So Rav Hirsch here again points out that the yishrei lev is the tzaddikim who have never wavered in their loyalty, of course, have the greatest cause of rejoicing. Right? Tzaddikim refer to purely righteous people. They've never sinned. They've been faithful and dutiful to you, Hashem, the entire time. But even those who are yishrei lev, Yishrei Lev means that you sinned, but they also had the honesty to do tshuva. They are the ones of whom it is said in Pasuk 2, Ve'ein beruchot remiyah. They don't lie to themselves. They do not engage in self-deception. And if they have made a mistake, they understand and admit in honesty and uprightness that they have sinned. So that's the difference in terminology. Simchu ba'ashem. V'gilu tzadikim, the righteous people are going to be happy. But even the Yishrei Lev, even those who made mistakes, right, they're going to joyous as well because they were going to dun tshuva for their mistakes. And so chapter 32 of Tehillim, I think, is enormously relevant to all of us. Because, as we said at the beginning, it's a chapter about forgiveness from sin. It's a chapter about tshuva, about repenting from sin. And of course, we can read this biographically into so many parts of David HaMelech's life. But the part that really resonated with me, and I think the part that is so applicable in our day and age, is David HaMelech imploring us to be honest with ourselves. David HaMelech imploring us that while we might put on a facade for the world around us, because we have to create this imagery of competency and of ethical values and et cetera, and we want people to think a certain way about ourselves, says David HaMelech that at the end of the day, you have to be willing to look yourself in the mirror. You have to be willing to look honestly at yourself in the mirror, and that it's okay to make mistakes. But what defines us and what ultimately characterizes us as a Jew is our ability to come back from those mistakes, our ability to look those mistakes in the eye and say, I can do tshuva for them. And so what David HaMelech is saying is Hashem doesn't expect perfection, but Hashem does expect that when you make a mistake, you're willing to introspect, you're willing to not deceive yourself, you're willing to be honest with yourself, and therefore to correct your mistakes. I think this is very applicable to our day and age, as I said, because so much of our lives is putting up a facade, whether it's social media, whether it's our interactions around ourselves. But there has to be a time, right? It could be Shmon Esrei, it could be when you're saying Tehillim, it could be when you're going for a walk by yourself, when you have a raw, authentic, honest conversation with Hashem, where you put it all on the table and you say, Hashem, this is who I am. Good, bad, ugly, warts, bruises, bumps, right? And positives, all in one. This is who I am, Hashem. And I might have made mistakes and I might have fallen short sometimes, but I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to aspire for better. I'm going to do tshuva. That says, reverse, is what this chapter is about. That is what David HaMelech is imploring us to do. And so, you know, as some chapters are more about praising Hashem and looking at nature and saying, Hashem, you're great, right? Other chapters are about different things. This chapter is really a Musar Shmuz, David HaMelech says, right? It's a Musar Shmuz encouraging us that, and I always say, when we study a chapter, tell me, you got to take time over the week to read this chapter a couple of times. I know that the more I read a chapter, so I develop almost like an affinity for it. It becomes like ingrained in me and I find new avenues of connection to it. And so I always tell you, if you just come to this class, but you don't bother saying this chapter of Tehillim throughout the week, then it's just an academic enterprise. Right? Okay, I went to a class, right? But if you spend some time taking this chapter of Tehillim this week, and you spend some time in a room by yourself, hisbodedus, right? Having that raw, authentic, honest conversation with Hashem, that is the greatest manifestation of this chapter of Tehillim. That's what David HaMelech really wants us to get. So that's all of our homework, right? First, again, I want to thank our sponsors, Drs. Eli and Orly Cohn, sponsoring in memory of, in honor of their incredible parents, who I'm inspired by, and who we all love so dearly, Rabbi Mordechai and Fortuny Cohn, in honor of them. And I think that's our homework. I'm giving us all homework, which is that between now and next Thursday, everyone has to take 5-10 minutes and put into practice what David HaMelech has taught us this morning, to sit in a room by yourself or go for a walk by yourself and have that honest, raw, unadulterated conversation with Hashem. That would be the greatest fulfillment of what David HaMelech asked for us here this morning. So with that, I want to wish everyone a beautiful day, an inspiring day. Please God, I know yesterday was a tough day for Americans, and hopefully we have turned the corner, and the best is yet to come for our country and for ourselves as individuals. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful day. Let me just end.